Wake up! Wake up! It's 6 in the morning and the day is half gone. Being raised on a farm with 13 siblings, there was much work to do. And when my father bellowed those words up the stairs to wake our sleepy heads, we knew he meant business. We each knew what our jobs were. My brothers and one of my older sisters milked the cows, took care of the young calves. My oldest sister helped my mother, always with the current baby. And there was always a baby. For my mother was in the birthing process for 20 years. There were gardens to plant, weeds to pull, a harvest, canning, freezing to be done. There was straw and hay to bale, barns to clean, and manure to pitch. And in years later, a farm market to operate. That meant peas, beans, and corn were picked daily. Every day in the summer, we were in the fields to make sure that we had the freshest fruits and vegetables. And if the sales in the farm market were down or it was slow, we children went to neighboring communities, to neighboring towns, and we knocked on doors to sell berries, fresh vegetables, and my mother's homemade bread, which she made every day. My father was a salesman for various fertilizer and seed companies. He traveled throughout Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. He not only sold fertilizer and seed corn, he field farmed over 150 acres, and in later years took on a farm market. He would travel to Benton Harbor, Michigan, 11 o'clock at night, return by 6, 7 in the morning to have the freshest fruits and vegetables. If we weren't growing it, he made sure we had it for Lothamer's Farm Market because they only had the freshest. And it was what we did as children. We ran this business. We did the farming. My mother cooked, clean, sewed all of our clothes. She baked 40 loaves of bread for just our family every week. She would pack us peanut butter and homemade jam or jelly sandwiches every day for lunch. We'd come home from school and get our snack, and what was the first thing we got for a snack? I mean, it was our desire, peanut butter and jelly on homemade bread. So she not only made that bread, 40 loaves a week for all of us, but in time, after 1965, she sold it at the farm market. She baked and sold for there. And she also raised gladiola bulbs. We never missed a Mass on Sunday, never. We never missed a holy day of obligation. Lent was treacherous. We were good. And every night, my mother sat with us, all of us, around the kitchen table, and she helped us do our homework. I always thought it was pretty amazing. For over a 30-year span of time, my mother knew and could keep up with the new math that the public schools were always giving us. Always, no problem. And, you know, I never heard my mother complain, never heard my mother have a desire for something different, never. Our family used the day and our time wisely. And of course, when you have a family of 14, there's time that isn't used so wisely. I'll be sitting in on Sherry Mann and Karen Workman's lessons later. We kids knew that our Father would bless us with a great summer vacation. We would reap the rewards of our hard work. Most of those vacations were 2 weeks at various Michigan lakes or a trip to the Upper Peninsula where we would go deep into the woods and stay for 2 weeks at my father's hunting cabin. My father woke us early. My father expected us to use our time well, to work hard. And he rewarded us for our labors. And we would know the joy and happiness for those 2 weeks, for all of our hard work that we put in through the summer. If we can turn to Ephesians 5, and I want to read 14 through 17, and if somebody gets there, just hop up and read it. That would be great. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ladies, we are called to wake up. The day is half gone. We are called to work hard to make the most of our time. And we are called to shine bright. Do the will of the Lord. Feel the joy living the abundant life. Wake up! Wake up! The scriptures tell us that it was the will of God the Father that Christ would be born, he'd be killed, and he'd be raised on the third day. Then shortly after, the kingdom, which is the church, would be established. This kingdom is powerful, and it will not be shaken. It is because of the Father's great love that he provided an avenue for each one of us to be a child of the King, Christ Jesus. To be a part of the church, the kingdom of heaven. We are to be kingdom-minded women. And to be that, we must keep our minds set upon the things above. We must renew our minds daily so that we are not conformed to the world around us. As kingdom-minded women, we must understand there is much hard work to be done. We not only have the work of our own transformation, being Christ-like, but we also have families that we're raising, and we have husbands that we're helping. We have jobs that we are working, classes that we are taking, schools we are helping. And the list goes on and on and on. As kingdom-minded women, one of our greatest work we each have before us is to spread the words of to the lives of those around us, to spread the gospel. Ladies, each one of us has been given the work of building up the kingdom, to build up the church. We have been given the work of soul winning, by the means of spreading the gospel of Christ Jesus. From the beginning, God intended for each of us to reproduce. We are to produce more Christians. We are to make disciples. Our greatest work for the church is to find those interested in truth, to find truth seekers. Titus 2:14 tells us that God desires people for his own possession. And we are the ones who have been given the ministry of reconciliation. God has committed to us His word of reconciliation. We are His ambassadors for our King, Christ Jesus. God appeals through us. Wake up! Wake up! Okay. Speak with purpose those words of life and salvation to those living in darkness. Each one of us needs to step up and start speaking. We need to share what we know. We need to share where we've been. The excitement that we get from a weekend is not just for us. Take it out there. Share it. We need to become missionaries. Tell others about Jesus. I was working with one of my students, social studies, about 1012. Says, be a missionary. So as I'm listening to Mr. Caleb Durnham read to me, telling others. People who tell others about God are missionaries. So we don't have to travel across the sea. And I'm glad that we're doing that. Tell others about Jesus. You're a missionary. Boys and girls can be missionaries. You can be a missionary. A missionary teaches people about God. He or she tells others that Jesus is God's son. He tells others that Jesus loves them. He or she tells each one that Jesus died and saved them. God wants you to be a missionary. Do you tell other boys and girls about Jesus? Do you tell others about what you know? Do you read God's book to them? Do you tell them that Jesus wants to save them? Tell others in this world. Where's your world? Right around you, your community, your family, your acquaintances, your workplace. Tell others in this world about Jesus. And be a missionary. Get to know your neighbors that live right next to you, across the street. Who knows, they might have a batch of kids. You'll probably be the only Christian that they know, that they'll ever know. Get to know the youths that are in your own assemblies. Know their names. Build a little relationship with them. Do some mentoring to them. I remember in the Bellevue Assembly, there was a little gal, Amber Maurer, who I would just always ask, well, how you doing, Amber? What's going on? And I had no idea. Years later, she goes off to college. She goes off and gets married. And she would write to me. I never knew that just by talking to her and asking her how things were and what's going on, what are you doing in school, I never knew that years later. And then she would write to me on occasion. Her mom would always tell me how things are going. This would be 5, 6, 7, 8 years later. Little Amber Maurer, who lives, I believe, still in the Chicago area, possibly, got a family. I mean, it's just like I never knew. But just building that relationship and knowing the kids that are in your assembly, their names, and asking them how they're doing. Let the parents do that other stuff that says, do this, do that, don't do that, don't do that. They're doing that, but we can just say, so what's going on? What you gonna, just build a relationship. Get to know those kids. We need to care more about the souls of those around us than for their feelings, and that would be real love. Is your relationship with others to bring them into the church or to go to the gym? Are your conversations on God's truth or are they on trash and trivia? Are you sharing the good news or the latest fake news? Are you passing on the gospel of Christ or the gossip of the world? As kingdom-minded women, we each need to walk and speak with purpose. It is up to us to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to an attitude of righteousness, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wake up! Wake up out there! If we don't put purpose in all we say and all we do, we're catering to Satan and his influence. We are to fight the good fight. We are to fight for the souls of the people. Everything we say and do matters. It matters to our spouses, our children, our families, our neighbors, to those around us, to those in the world, and it matters to the building up of the church. I repeat, wake up out there. If we don't put purpose in all we say and do, we will cater to Satan and his influences. He wants you to be quiet. He wants you to be too shy. He wants you not to have the time. He wants you to have your me time. And I've got to do this for me right now. He wants you to do that. He wants you to turn to the right and to the left and live in this chaotic world and have all those, you know, our sports and our cheerleading and our whatever else is all out there that our kids are doing and what we're doing. He wants us to be busy with that. That's the influence he wants to have on us. Now, whether you are raising a family in the process of repairing a damaged marriage or rebuilding a life out of order from years of worldly chaos, as kingdom-minded women, we must believe we have the faith, that we have the power, the strength, and the ability to be about the work set before each of us, to be about the work of evangelizing, to seek and save those lost. Now wake up. It's already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than we believe. Romans 13:11-12. We need to be about the work of disciple making. And I'm not talking about inviting someone to the church assembly. The assembly is for the Christians to be fed and to be nourished. Many in the church today have the preacher you can do it mindset. Therefore, the people sitting in the pews become spectators instead of initiators of New Testament Christianity. Evangelizing or disciple making is something that needs to be in the heart of the person who has a heart for God. Let's go to Matthew 5. There's a couple verses there, 14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We'll stop right there at 16. Yep. Ladies, you are the light of the world. Jesus is pointing out to us today that we are the light of the world. And if you are a Christian. You are a lady of light. He does not say you might be light. You could be light. Or it's possible to be light. He says, you are light. And if you are light, and everyone who's a Christian is light, what are you supposed to be doing? You are in the world to shine. Paul says in Philippians 2:15, we are children of God. We appear as lights in the world. He tells us where our light is to shine. It is to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He didn't say shine in a building 1 hour on Sunday. Lots of Christians have the idea that shine time is between 9 and 10, or in Great Falls, 3 and 5 on Sunday. God has called every Christian to be in the midst of the crooked and perverse. I remember sitting in a Bible study in Hagerstown, Maryland, with one of our first gals that we immersed. She had just had a baby, and of course I was always willing to hold the babies because I know they monopolize your time. And it's hard to follow along the scriptures. So Mr. Malinowski and I were sitting at the home that she was staying in, which was about a block from where we lived, and it was called a flop house. I'm sure many of you know what a flop house is or are aware of it. It's where people go and they pay money to rent a room. She had herself and her husband and four other children and a baby renting a room. You have community access to the kitchen and the dining room and the living room. So we're sitting there in this cobwebbed dining room, very dark. I'm holding her baby, and Mr. Malinowski and Keisha are right here, and they're studying, and I'm kind of following along, and I'm looking around, looking over into the kitchen, looking into the living room, and I'm like, okay, there are two guys passed out sitting on the couch, and their bottles are next to them. I mean, that is what a flop house is. You flop down and pass out. And these people that live in this flop house can't rent. They can't get into housing. They come out of prisons. And that's where they go. So I'm in an environment that have prison people that have just come out and whoever else is there. So I'm sitting there still holding the baby, and I can see out the front door. And I'm sitting there listening, and I can see, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm watching a drug deal going down right out here on the porch. I can see all of this. They're selling the drugs right off the porch, and I'm a witness to it. I'm seeing it. I'm there. So we are to be amongst, while we are, whether you purpose or not, the crooked and perverse generation. Now, I'm not saying anybody has to go to that extreme, but that was normal. For almost 15 years, that was very normal for the types of studies we would do. Your study is a breeze, sitting in your house. We went into places like, and these were people that we lived with, we lived in the middle of. And they needed to hear the gospel, just like any of us needed to hear the gospel. They wanted something different. God didn't tell us that we would shine just on Sunday morning during our assembly time. He wants us around the people building relationships. So I just want you to think, you don't put a lighthouse in the middle of Great Falls, in Bozeman or Billings or Missoula or any of those great cities in Montana. You put a lighthouse on some tragedy-ridden shore. And in the same way, we cannot fulfill the Great Commission with a lack of desire to shine our light. As we examine the light, let's remember the moon has no light of its own. And it only merely reflects the light of the S-U-N, the sun. In the same way, we too have no light of our own. We merely reflect the light of Christ Jesus, the S-O-N. And never forget, the power source is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, our light may seem a little dim at times when we're in the midst of our brothers and sisters. But when we venture into the darkness of this world, we do shine, and we shine brightly. Proverbs 4:18, our paths are like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter. So just as the moon reflects the S-U-N, we too, as daughters of our Heavenly Father, reflect His S-O-N, Son, Christ Jesus. We need to wake up so that we can bring new life to those who are dead. The administration of reconciliation is living the abundant life. Our Father has given each of us the work of building up the church, saving the lost. And we have been given the privilege of reconciling people back to Him. When we do this hard work, giving of ourselves and discipling of others, we will know the joy which comes as a result of bringing others into the kingdom of heaven. Bringing others into the church. We will know the joy, and that's living the abundant life. Now, we all know that Barbara Bush just passed away, and I'm seeing a lot of great words that she spoke. But I want to repeat these ones here that evidently she spoke. At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband, with a child, a friend, or a parent. But I want you to consider what a loss it would be for you to figure out how to spend that time with those people to get that time that she's talking about and not be willing to ruffle some feathers and share the gospel, which would provide them the opportunity of eternity with you in God's heavenly kingdom. Now, to me, that's the greater loss. And we already know, because Jesus told us, we might get separated from some of those people. But they make their decisions. And look at this. My mothers and my sisters, He promised me we would have so much more. And so I want to put my confidence and trust in what He's telling me and what He'll give to me if I'll do that. And then you can remember in Luke 15, it tells us there is more joy in heaven with the angels over one sinner who would repent. Jesus gave the command. He has put the work before us. It's pretty simple, and you can read it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, go, speak a little. You never know who's listening. God wants us out there building relationships with others. Number two, make disciples. Get a personal study, one-on-one. God wants us working with someone. And it takes time and many answered questions. There's so much which needs to be undone. Make a plan today of one person you can shine light on. I'd always use my kids as friends' parents. work through that. Well, I don't have them anymore, so I got to actually go out and do that work. It's hard sometimes. When I was in Hagerstown, I think I embarrassed some of the folks from Michigan when they visited, because I actually was standing on the corner and some guy was waiting for the light to turn, and my friend Patty Bonnie was taking a picture of me or something, and I don't know, I went by this guy's car and he's still sitting at the light, and I saw a Bible in his front seat, and I leaned in and started talking to him. I said, "So, I see you got your Bible with you. Got your co-pilot, huh?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, praise God." You know, they're all praise God. And so I just took opportunity to chat with him. You never know who's listening, and sometimes you got to put yourself right there. You never know where we're listening, too. I was in a thrift store, and they have this table of Bibles all out, and they're free. And so there was this couple ladies looking through them, and then there's this man on the other side who was in the store. And he all of a sudden is starting to preach to these girls about salvation and what they need to do. And all of a sudden my ears became a little in tune. And of course, you know, us girls, we're not supposed to be talking when the guys were talking, so I was just being a really good listener. And I think the fumes started smoking out my ears. And I'm still listening. I'm like, okay, this is not going well. Because, you know, of course, he's telling them everything but truth. And I just pushed that rack away. I said, "All right, now listen here. I'm going to tell you how this goes." And I said, "You girls, you get those Bibles. You should be sure to get a Bible. And I want you to take those home and I want you to read them. And what this man is telling you is not truth. He is not speaking truth to you. But you know what? You don't have to listen to me. You get one of these Bibles because they're free and you take those home. And I want you to read for yourself because you can understand what those scriptures say." Well, guess what he had to say? "Well, I guess you haven't read about women being quiet, have you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I have. And when you're talking about somebody speaking truth, I'm not going to tolerate that. And I believe if you understand correctly, I'll be quiet in the assembly when our men are speaking and leading. But when I am here in this presence, you are not being honest. And you better go home and read your Bible." I went home, sweated that out. And Mr. Malinowski gets home and I says, "Okay, this is what I did." And he's probably the preacher at that church right next door. And we're going to see him. And I said, "So that's what I did." I said, "I just couldn't take it any longer." So you got to speak. You can't be afraid to speak. Get those studies. Don't be afraid to speak. Those girls probably had a real laugh. But I hope I challenged them to think, you don't have to believe me, and you don't have to believe him. You need to find out for yourself. So we want to do that speaking. We really want to get into those one-on-one studies. I have a sister-in-law, Kathy Malinowski, that was supposed to be here. Couldn't come because of a major accident. But I worked with her in her first marriage. And for 10 years, her first husband talked her out of being immersed because she was a Baptist, and you've been immersed, and on and on and on. So that relationship kind of went its way for 10 years. We actually never spoke. And I'll tell you what, it does that. She wasn't my sister-in-law at that time. It does that. It separates you. Okay, so Don and I had to go to Michigan. We drive into Battle Creek, Michigan. He had to pick up a book at the Christian bookstore. We came off the highway, drove to the store. I walked in the door, and Kathy, she's there. And I'm telling you, we picked up like we never left off. So it took that 10-year separation. Her husband manipulating her, putting her in isolation, her bad health, him putting her out of her house, leaving her, and her being so low and so insecure And she told me she drove around the parking lot 5 times to tell herself, just go in the store and look at some books. Because she had no money. She didn't know why she was there. She just knew she had to get out of her house because she was becoming such an introvert. She was so low. And she had prayed earlier that she knew, just help me, God. She drove around the parking lot 5 times before she'd even enter the store. She got in there, and look what happens. And she's a very faithful woman today, married to Don's brother, in the church now for 11 years. Very excited, but it took that separation and her figuring that out and her tragedy to continue on to make a difference. So it takes time. There's a lot that has to be undone. So number three, you want to immerse them. You immerse them into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you continue to teach them. Wake up, ladies. The day is half gone. Let's prepare our minds to start making real spiritual progress. No matter what place you are in your walk or your age as a Christian, you have been equipped. You've been equipped by God to be about the work of building up His kingdom, the church. And that comes only by seeking and saving the lost. So start removing any roadblocks you have. Stop with your excuses and start working. You will never know what God can do with you until you are willing to completely surrender yourself to His service. Now, Mrs. Wilson brought out a couple things that I thought we just had to put it right here. God sees potential in each one of you. We don't see it. God took us from ordinary people, the oddities that we were in the world, to do extraordinary work and extraordinary things. God's the one who equips us. And we're warriors, women of light to be light. How many of you have seen The Greatest Showman? Woo! All right, I recommend you see it. But I want you to think about this. That man took the oddities that were in the world and he gave them purpose. Who is our greatest showman? Christ Jesus. That man gave his money. Christ Jesus gave his life. He left his honor, glory. He left it. He had everything, the riches, everything. He left it. He gave it up for us. Christ Jesus is our greatest showman. We were the oddities in the world. See yourself that way. And when you hear the song, Come Alive, I want you to think about this. You are the one who can switch. Wait a minute. Let me start this again. You are the one who can flip the switch and brighten up the darkest day. The sun is up and the color's blinding. Take the world and redefine it. Leave behind your narrow mind. You'll never be the same. Come alive. Come alive. Or wake up. Go and ride your light. Let it burn so bright, reaching up to the sky, and it's opened wide. You're electrified. We need to wake up and we need to prepare our minds for action. Make his goals your goals. His work your work. And then go make a difference real quickly. And you can ask me for this later because I won't go in detail. But some really great examples through your scripture of people who spoke. 2 Kings 5, a little maiden girl worked for a lady whose husband had leprosy. That little girl is no different than any one of our children in the school who know truth. Now, she wasn't going to teach, but she sent, told her mistress, have your husband go see the prophet. She knew what to say. She wasn't too shy or didn't need all the attention for herself. She told, she spoke. How about in John 4, 7 all the way to 42, the woman at the well. She speaks to those whom she knows. The man. I was accused of teaching my brothers. What a horrid thing. Who else would he talk with about stuff like this? She spoke to the men. She shared the good news and Jesus, everything Jesus had told her. He knew her. The men believed her, went to go, or checked it out, went to go see him. They believed what she said, and then they believed him. She wasn't afraid. How about Legion out of Mark? He'd been demon-possessed. But yet, after his encounter with Christ, he was found clothed in his right mind. Jesus clothes us. He covers us. He was in his right mind. Legion told Jesus he wanted to go with him, but Jesus says, no, you go back to your people. He says, go home. Go to your people and report to them the great things the Lord has done. And he did. And he went proclaiming to the whole city. How about in Acts? Philip hooked up with a eunuch. Kind of a godly man, reading out of the scroll or the scriptures, whatever that was in those days. Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? I use that line on a girl. She came to the building all the time. I said, do you understand what you're reading? And she said, well, how could I, but unless somebody were to teach me. Well, it didn't quite go that way. I said, do you understand what you're reading? Because I really appreciate that you're here all the time, and I think sometimes it's tough to know. And she says, well, I'm trying. And I said, no, yeah, I can see that. He said, how about you and I get together, and I'll see what you're reading, and maybe we can talk about it. Guess what? She got immersed, and her husband got immersed. Philip preached Jesus to that eunuch, and the eunuch was immersed and went on his way rejoicing. How about in Acts? Great husband and wife team. They taught Apollos more perfectly. Someone who only knew of the baptism of John. A husband and wife working together in teaching others. How about a grandmother and a mother working together, raising the next young boy or young girl to be a help to someone else, Eunice and Lois out of Timothy. Raised up a young boy whose father was Greek. Look at the influence of working together, mother, mother-in-law, grandmother, these. They were working together. I doubt that they had those issues about, well, he is my son, you know. No, I doubt that. No, they worked together. They passed along their faith. Timothy became what was known as Paul's true child in the faith. Working together, passed along their faith to a young boy. Ladies of Light, working together, raising the next generation. How about at the end of her life, Anna? In Luke 2, 36 through 38. Elderly, widowed, serving, And at the moment she came up, when they presented Jesus as a baby, she came up, began giving thanks to God, and continued to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Strong finish at the end. Strong finish. We need to prepare our minds for action. Again, make his goals our goals, his work our work, because we will make a difference. I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are white for the harvest. And the Lord will add to our number day by day those being saved. You are ladies of light. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep like others are doing, but let us be alert, self-controlled. Let us be purposed and productive.